couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Kaw.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys the Movies.
Yes, you are.
This week, we've got all kinds of crazy shenanigans happening. We're going into a war zone.
You know, this has been a long time since you've done creative intros like that.
We are going to lay down some tracks with Cadillac Records.
Oh, that was terrible.
We're going to get in the middle of Frost and Nixon.
Why didn't you say this and say, we're going to drive our Cadillac Records through the war zone and get in the middle of Frost and Nixon? See, that would have been cool.
Well, I'm not into being cool, so...
That much is apparent.
But anyways, we are going to talk about all those movies and some other junk. We're going to continue, I believe, later in the show, talking about Fat Guy and Edix.
Yes.
Fat Guy Ontology, which I know...
And our new patron saint.
So many of you are looking forward to it. I know.
Yeah.
So, but before we get to all that, here's how you can get a hold of us. You can head over to fatguysthemovies.com. You can also get us on iTunes, search Fat Guys the Movies. Make sure if you're on iTunes, you leave us a little review, show us a little love or not, whatever. And if you'd like to email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. We haven't received any emails in a while, so we're getting kind of lonely over here.
Well, we have been receiving emails at Film School Rejects, but it's been for Viagra.
Right. We received Viagra emails. So whoever signed us up for that, thank you.
Yes.
And if you'd like to leave us a voicemail, something else that we haven't really gotten any lately, 614-388-8735. And just in case you're wondering, we did test it last week. It does work.
Yes. And Dawn from California, we're waiting for your call.
We're waiting to just see if you're still there. I don't know. Do you think people are offended that we're trying to start our own religion?
They might be. They might be. And that's okay, because I've learned when you start your own religion from reading about other people who've started their own religion. I mean, I'm talking about modern people. I mean, technically,
right.
Jesus started his own religion, but
he was pretty persecuted as well. So people.
Well, and he's got some
negative
street
feedback.
Cred. He's got street cred behind him too. I mean,
this is true.
He did come back from the dead.
Yeah.
According
to the book.
Okay. I guess we're going there.
No, you know. That was for all my non-believing friends out there, according to the book.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Anyways, let's move on to Punisher
Warzone.
Yeah,
we'll talk more about Fat Guy Genetics and Fat Guy Ontology in the internet-only segment. So if you want to be offended, skip ahead.
Yes. Well, don't skip ahead. Just wait.
No. You have to hear what we think about Punisher Warzone.
Right, because this is going to be very interesting. So,
okay.
Anyways, the movie's Punisher Warzone, as we mentioned. It's ex-kickboxer Alexei Alexander reboots the Punisher movies with an intense R-rated action flick. And that's actually a really good way to describe it.
This is just the beginning.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Let's play a game.
God be with you, Frank.
Sometimes I'd like to get my hands on God.
FBI, drop your weapons!
You're fighting a war.
No. Let's start before we go into the review. I do want to kind of point out to everybody that Film School Rejects, which is the sister site kind of thing, I guess, or the aunt site.
This is
I mean,
the official podcast
site.
Of Film School Rejects.
Exactly.
It's the mother site.
A good friend of Film School Rejects is Thomas Jane, who played
the
Punisher in the first reboot.
I think we have a collective man crush on Thomas Jane.
Yeah.
Like, collectively, we crush on him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But no, so there's a little bit of, you know, we as a collective team, we weren't thrilled to find out he wasn't going to be in the new movie.
Right.
And so there is a big debate now going on the internet. Is Ray Stevenson better than Tom Jane? Back and forth. And I'll say Tom Jane wasn't as beefed up back then when he played the Punisher as he was like in The Mist.
Mm-hmm.
And he was built up in The Mist, which was odd because he played like a painter.
Yeah. Exactly. No,
he was a painter who was the best
figure.
Shape of his life. But I will say this, Ray Stevenson, I was skeptical at first, but I got to say, he's 6'5". He is an imposing dude, and
indeed,
he does make a good Punisher. I like Tom Jane, but I also think Ray Stevenson does. He's not a great actor. Tom Jane's a better actor.
Right.
But But Ray Stevenson sort of embodies that Punisher. You really look at him and you say, yeah, this guy could like kill all the mafia people in New York
City. Oh, totally. Totally. And I think that's probably what I liked most about the movie is that I thought Ray Stevenson was the right guy in the wrong movie. Like he was the most physical, imposing Punisher that we've seen, even against Dolph Lundgren, because I think Dolph Lundgren was still kind of a pretty boy. Don't tell him I said that, by the way.
No, I won't.
But I think overall the movie, to put it simply, from what I saw, was it was just too goofy and too silly when it didn't need to be. And sure, it's fun, it's over the top, it's ridiculously violent, but there are scenes like there's a scene where Jigsaw, played by Dominic West, who I don't know where Dominic West fits into this equation, because he really wasn't that good in the movie. Like he was playing it up too much.
Oh, big time.
But like there's a scene where they go recruiting, he and Looney Bin Jim go recruiting in the ghetto, and it's the most like stereotyped sequence I've ever seen, and and B, it's just ridiculous. Like they're doing this lockstep thing down the street, and it didn't need that. The movie would have been fine without that. Would have been much better without that.
If you remember the first Punisher, there's, or actually the second Punisher with Tom Jane, there's a scene where the big Russian in the striped shirt comes in and they get in a fight.
Yeah.
And I remember that scene in particular took me out of the movie saying, wow, that's kind of weird and goofy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of those scenes in this new Punisher.
Yeah.
And I say there's moments where it falls over and it stumbles upon itself. Dominic West does this. I think you said it once to me off the air. You said it was like a bad Godfather impression from the schoolyard or something.
No,
like
it's stage reenactment. Like it was stage. Like a bad, like if you went to see a really bad off-Broadway play about New York gangsters, this is what it would be. You know?
I mean, yeah, he comes in. I mean, it's so thick and ridiculous, over the top. He's like, yo, so I think we need to be going down and shooting the Punisher in the face. It's like watching
forget
it on
about
a Looney cartoon.
I was waiting for him to lay down a forget about it.
Yeah, so it gets just really goofy and bizarre, but I have to say, like Transporter 3, you don't see this movie for the characters or the acting or the story. If you're seeing Punisher Warzone, you're seeing it to watch the Punisher punish people.
Right.
And I was a little leery going in because there was a lot of rumors that this movie was just fraught with problems from the set and in post-production. And I went in the movie and I'm like, yeah, this is okay. And then he, like, the first action scene, he cuts a guy's head off and then twists this mafioso's wife's head all the way around.
Yes.
I'm like, okay, I'm with you there. It's intensely violent and almost comically intensely violent. And the action is really well done. The blood effects get a little CGI.
Yeah, some of the sound effects were a little, like, the squishes and the... Like it felt like a kind of one of those, I would almost call them B+ level horror movies with the squishy violence and whatever. But Lexi Alexander, the fact that she is a hot, nice looking lady who has a thing for violence, it's a turn on. I'm not gonna lie.
She would kill you.
It would be awesome. I would die.
You would
happy.
Be dead. Yeah. So, okay. No, I have to say taken strictly as an R-rated violent movie, it kind of rocks.
Yeah. Well, I see the appeal, but I'm still saying kind of sucks because I thought it was, in many ways, laughably bad.
So. You're just trying to bait Lexi Alexander to come to your house.
Yes, I am. And we're back on Fat Guys, the movies. We're moving on.
We're driving our Cadillac.
We're driving our Cadillac. We made it through the war zone.
Boo, 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 boo.
And so we're moving on to Cadillac Records, in which Beyonce shakes her butt on screen as Etta James, and Mos Def goes all Chuck Berry on us.
Mr. Wallace, we're big fans. We named our band after one of your songs. Rolling Stone. My baby, don't
stand no cheating. Welcome to Cadillac Records. Stay around long enough, everybody get one.
Car's yours. You earned it.
You my white daddy?
Oh, yeah,
she don't stand no cheating. Where baby come from?
A woman came by today. She said she's yours.
Now, we can't exactly verify that Beyonce shakes her butt on screen because they didn't screen it for me.
But we know that she wants to upgrade us to DirecTV.
You know what? I could watch that DirecTV ad all day long. I don't have to hear it, but I'll watch it all day long. I will watch the extended director's cut of that because, you know, Beyonce's bootylicious.
She is pretty bootylicious. I don't like the fact that she's changing her name to Sasha Fierce or whatever.
What?
That stupid rapper crap. Well, no, her new album's called I Am Sasha Fierce, and it's that whole rapper thing where they like do that one album where they change their name, blah 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 blah.
Why doesn't she could change her name, be like Prince and change her name to a symbol? Only it's just a giant butt.
Because everybody thinks of her as Beyonce, anyways.
Yeah. Well, this is isn't there a second chain? She was what, Destiny's Child at one point? One of the girls from Destiny's Child.
Yeah, she was one of the girls. She was in the group Destiny's Child, and then she was just Beyonce.
Yeah.
And now she's going through this whole Sasha Fierce stage.
And who'd she play in the Goldmember? What was her name?
Oh, what was her name? That's a very good question.
That was a great name. It was Foxy Cleopatra.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Too bad that wasn't the end of her acting career.
Yeah, she's not that good.
Right. Well, I mean, she definitely wasn't that good in Dreamgirls, other than the singing. I mean, she's, you know, she's a very talented
singer.
She's
got a great voice. That's great. You can put Randy Travis in a movie. That doesn't mean he's going to be able to act his way out of a paper bag.
Right. He's obviously not going to be Dwight Yoakam. So. Because I think we all know that Dwight Yoakam is a fantastic actor.
Father Joe. Was it Father Joe? No, Father Joe was from The X-Files.
No, Father...
Father Pete or something like that?
Hold on, now I gotta Father look up. We're talking about Four Christmases.
Father Fred.
Just in case anyone's on.
I'm just gonna name. Let me go. Father Adam. Father Andrew. Weird. Father Alex. I'm just going through all the names of guys' names.
Pastor Phil. were way off.
It's a good thing I didn't go through all the names because it would have taken me the entire show to get to P's.
So what were we even talking about? Cadillac Records. Neither one of us saw it.
No.
Even though I had the opportunity to.
Yeah, they screened it in some cities, but not where I am.
Right. They screened it where I am, but it was so close to being after, like right after Punisher Warzone, that I couldn't do it.
That would have been an interesting 1-2 punch.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm hearing mixed buzz on this. I mean, we've seen this kind of stuff before. You know, another movie about a record company and, you know, all the, in the 60s, the burgeoning sort of, you know, what was it? It wasn't Motown because it wasn't Motown Records, but it was, you know, it was Chuck Berry and Etta James and that.
Yeah.
But I'm hearing mixed reviews. I think they were trying to go for awards.
Right.
And
Jeffrey Wright.
Yeah.
Is in it.
Not Edgar Apparently Wright. Edgar good. Wright would have been awesome.
Jeffrey Wright, the guy from W.
What guy from every? Oh yeah.
He played
Felix Leiter. Felix Leiter.
Yeah, he plays Muddy Waters. Apparently, he's really good in it.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I mean, it's got a really good cast. So, you know, if you're down with
you know what? I saw a trailer for this in front of Soul Men.
Oh,
which
yeah,
was a
well,
terrible.
I movie. Think this is a little bit more serious than Soul Men.
Yeah,
it's got Beyonce.
I got nothing
in it,
to
so
say.
We
yet.
Have to
I'm
take it seriously.
Like, yes, okay. All right.
So, all right. Well, I mean, we'll just give it a preemptive see at your own risk.
Well, I'm going to say preemptive suck because they didn't screen it for me. Although the publicist let us know
when
in the Central
playing.
Ohio our market. She's like, oh, yeah, it opens on these theaters. And I'm like, I haven't paid to go see Rachel Getting Married yet. I'm not going to go pay to see Cadillac Records, which they didn't screen.
And Rachel Getting Married was actually a really good movie.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, kind of good movie.
We'll
I
see. But let's move on.
All right, next up, Frost Nixon. This is Ron Howard directing the screen adaptation of Peter Morgan's play detailing David Frost's interview with former President Richard Nixon.
The American people need a conviction. I'd like to give Richard Nixon the trial he never had.
Why didn't you burn the tapes?
I didn't want to take any questions on Watergate. Shut it down.
Are you really saying the president can do something illegal?
I'm saying that when the president does it, that means it's not illegal.
I'm sorry.
I do want to say, you don't have to say former president, because we know he's not president right now.
Obviously.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that. But do you know that it is protocol-wise,
You just say Mr. President.
You always call it the president, even if he's out of office.
Even if president. He gets impeached, like what happens if they get impeached? Are they still the president?
Clinton was impeached. All impeachment is first
of all,
Nixon
like
wasn't.
If they got impeached, like out of office impeached. Clinton got like impeachment process, but never got kicked out of office.
No. Impeachment is like getting indicted. It's basically the presidential version of being indicted, which basically means you can then prosecute and vote. Clinton was impeached, but he was not voted out of office.
Oh.
Andrew Johnson was impeached. I think it was Andrew Johnson. And I don't know whether he got kicked out of office or not. But
I don't think any president's ever gotten kicked out of office.
Yeah, I mean, and Nixon left office. He resigned because they were going to do impeachment proceedings, but he didn't do it. But
right.
Clinton was impeached. They just voted to keep him in.
Okay. So anyways, so it's President Richard Nixon.
Yeah.
Sorry for the gaffe.
Okay.
But it's played by Frank Langella, and man, what a performance.
You know what I thought was fantastic about his performance? And you can compare it to Anthony Hopkins, who I think, was Anthony Hopkins nominated for an Oscar for his role in Nixon?
I will look it up while you continue to talk.
Anthony Hopkins, his performance was so caricature, and actually if you get the DVD of Nixon, you can watch speeches that are embedded in the film with him doing the character. And then on the special features, they have the actual speeches. And it's like so ridiculously different. I mean, because Anthony Hopkins does, Nixon says this. Blah. And then you see Nixon just being a guy, you know, doing his... he's got a little bit of a voice, but, you know, like any president. And I thought Frank Langella was able to do Nixon without becoming a caricature, which is really hard to do.
Right. And, well, Anthony Hopkins, as I'm seeing right now, was nominated for an Oscar, but he didn't win.
Yeah.
And I'll agree, because I tried to watch Nixon when it came out on Blu-ray and slept through the middle 3 hours.
Three and a half hours, man.
So... And I think Frank Langella, really, he feels more authentic as Nixon than Anthony Hopkins did. Because it you could tell Anthony Hopkins was acting like Nixon or trying to act like Nixon.
He was
It was really more about him giving a great performance and not trying to be like Nixon, but just trying to exist in the universe that Ron Howard was trying to create.
I'll go out on a limb.
Same thing with, what's his name, Martin Sheen.
Well, I'll go out on a limb, Michael Sheen. I'll go out on a limb
for... Yeah, Michael Sheen.
I would compare Frank Langella's performance as Nixon as Josh Brolin's performance as George W. Bush, because he didn't go into that caricature. He actually was able to sort of like just take on the mannerisms.
Right. Yeah, totally. So, you know, and I think it's one of those performances that should be at least nominated for an Oscar. I think this is one of those Oscar-worthy performances.
It's getting
same
a lot
thing
of
with Michael Sheen. Michael Sheen was, he really kind of is kind of the heart and soul of the movie.
Yeah.
Despite Langella's fantastic performance.
Well, it's his movie. It's really more Michael Sheen's movie than it is Frank Langella's movie.
Right. So, and you know, I mean, I think we were talking about this off the air. It's not a very relevant movie. It's not a very politically charged movie, but it is this very interesting kind of push-pull boxing match type of film between these two men, both of which kind of going into this interview for different reasons.
Yeah.
You know, Nixon thought that he could get this British guy to come in and just kind of lob softballs at him and, you know, get his reputation back. And David Frost is kind of doing this as a last-ditch effort to become a real serious journalist.
Yeah.
You know, because he was just some talk show host.
Well, he had,
and I think it's very interesting.
David Frost, the real David Frost, has come out and weighed in on the movie, and he did complain because he said he has interviewed heads of state and stuff like that prior to Nixon, but they kind of make him look like he's, you know, that guy.
Kind of
like
a joke.
Yeah, he looks like somebody from Entertainment Tonight, when he really wasn't. He was probably more on the lines of, you know, maybe a fluffier version of Larry King at the time, Australian version or British version. I don't know. I didn't find it that relevant, and Ron Howard's come out and said it isn't, but I mean, I wasn't even aware of the original stuff because I was too young at the time to pay attention. Right. So, I mean, it's an interesting movie, but I think it's really kind of made for the flock of, if you still are carrying a torch against Nixon, you're the ones who are going to like this movie.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because it's
still
kind of
runs.
Well, we'll talk more about it later.
My love has come along.
And here we are back with Fat Guys at the Movies. We kind of had we got hijacked out of that last segment because we just got so hyped up talking about Frost Nixon that we hit the end of the segment. And so we'll continue the discussion here because we actually have a couple more things to say about it. You had something you wanted to say extra, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, no. It's interesting that I found it to be very educational. And I was, you know, I was sitting there this morning watching the Today Show with my mom, mm-hmm. and Ron Howard was on talking about the movie, and she very, very vividly remembers that, and mm-hmm. You know, and she said that she remembers literally everybody when she was a teenager. Everybody watched this. You know, it was like a huge thing. So I think it will appeal to that older generation who remembers. You know, like it'll be the same thing. You know, 20 years from now, when they make a movie about, you know, maybe about Clinton's stuff that happened to him in the White House.
I don't know if the Oprah Clinton interview is going to be as big as the
Well,
Frost
no, I mean,
Nixon.
If they make a biopic about the things that happened behind the scenes in his White House, I will watch that and remember watching it all on television, watching the proceedings and stuff like that, you know, because I remember in the 90s watching, you know, all the congressional votes and stuff like that when he was being indicted and stuff like that. So, you know, impeached. I think there's definitely an audience out there for it, and I think for everybody else, people in our generation, it at least feels very authentic historically. So it feels like one of those movies that you can actually learn something from, and it kind of inspires you to go out and find out more. So I think it's very effective, despite not being very politically relevant.
Okay. Well, there's a critic in Central Ohio who we know pretty well. His name's John DeSanto, and he's a critic for the local
was on NPR.
NPR station in town. And of course, John, he's of course leans left in his beliefs, and he goes to London quite often to go see all these plays on the West End, and he was telling me he saw it portrayed in the London West End, and he was a huge fan of it then, and he absolutely loved the movie because it is a very, at least from what he said, a very true and worthy adaptation of the play. And,
which is good.
And well, yeah, and so, but he fits the exact profile of somebody who'd want to see the movie. He was old enough to have lived through it. He's politically charged on the left, and he was a fan of the play. I think that's sort of like where the perfect storm has to come in for this movie. You have to have all that. I think to your average 20-year-old moviegoer, they're going to be like, what the heck is this about? Who cares?
Yeah.
And I think that's a bit of a danger, and that's what you're going to get when you do a movie like this, no matter what. The thing is, Ron Howard, with the exception of The Missing, he makes a great film, no matter what he does. I thought The Missing was terrible, but all of his other movies I've seen, pretty much, fantastic movie, well directed, well shot, very well acted. Again, I fall on the thing. I kept thinking as I'm watching the movie, my whole thing was, I'm like, who cares? That was my whole thing. It's a great movie, but who really cares? And even the stories beholden to what really happened, because it actually aired. So it's not like you can even, you know, so with the whole thing of getting Nixon to admit he did wrong, it was impactful in the day.
Right.
But when it finally happens in the movie, I'm kind of like, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, you expect it. It reminds me of when I was on a murder trial once. No, I wasn't on trial, but I was on a jury.
back when you were a serial killer.
Exactly. Yeah, and they had the guy, the defendant, actually take the stand, and it was the most anticlimactic thing. And he did worse. Way worse for himself by taking the stand, but he was the only witness they had. And I remember when we were deliberating, there was this woman who was just a complete moron on the jury. And she's like, she literally was expecting the Perry Mason moment where somebody comes in, they start questioning me, goes, yes, I did it. And I was glad I did it. I never thought they'd catch me. Oops. Did I say that on the stand?
Right.
You know, I think that's what she was expecting, and you don't get it in real life. And that was the one stumbling block in the movie. So don't take it as the climax, and it's not about the interview. It's about what happens to the characters behind the scenes.
Yeah, it's more about the story leading up to and kind of the you know, this chess match between these two men before the interview. You know.
Okay, you're not helping yourself by saying it's an exciting.
I thought it was exciting. It's
like whenever I've talked to you and I said, "Yeah, you could have a radio show like the McLaughlin Group," and you're like, "No, that just bores people." You don't say chess match and expect people to go stampeding to the theater to see the drama.
Whatever, it's exciting.
Okay, I'll give that to you.
It's an exciting chess match.
You called it a boxing match off the air.
It's kind of like a boxing match. I guess, would be an even better way to describe it. It's kind of like this big, kind of heavyweight fight, you know, and there's build up and all that good stuff. Anyways.
That's a better way to frame it. The only other thing I would say is, and I understand what he was doing. He was trying to show that it was so politically charged in the day. But they have one character. The characters, everybody is so anti-Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
Which that was the media back then. And if you were involved in the media, generally you were anti-Nixon back then. And it kind of reminded me of Good Night and Good Luck.
Yeah.
Where everybody was so rah, rah, we're really going to stick it to McCarthy. And I'm just like, okay, I get it. Just get on with the story. And so there's a little bit of that going on. But like I said, it's a well-made movie.
Yeah.
I don't know who it's going to appeal to, but there you go.
Well, I'm giving it a rocks because I liked it.
I'll give it a kind of rocks.
That's how I feel about it.
Okay.
Cool. Moving on to box. Or no, we got Indie Spotlight to do, right? First?
Indie Spotlight. Let's do that real quick.
Let's do that real quick. Our Indie Spotlight this week is Time Crimes. It's part of Magnet Releasing's Six Shooter film series, which also includes Let the Right One In, which I think we talked about a few weeks back.
I don't think we did talk about that.
We will.
You and I have talked about it, but just not on the air.
Yeah, we will talk about it eventually. Yeah. But it's directed by a man named
Nacho Grande. That's what I'm going to call him.
His name's Nacho. The movie's in Spanish, so instantly that's cool. And
I said to you, that's like having a German guy like Bratwurst Stitchel's new movie.
Nacho Vigalondo.
Whatever.
But this is it's a sci-fi flick, right? I was supposed to watch it last night, but I didn't.
It's not. I wouldn't say it's necessarily sci-fi. It's like more speculative, and that's a fine line. It's a little more. It's not like Buck Rogers sci-fi, but it does deal with time travel. So it is sort of speculative fiction. It's about a guy who accidentally goes back in time and stumbles upon himself and tries to make sure everything works out right. And it's a very, very simple movie. It's about an hour and a half. It all takes place either in the woods or in a couple houses. So it's like, could have been made for like $20 or whatever the Spanish equivalent is. Yeah. And it's very interesting. It totally kept my interest. I was sucked into it. And it's just this fascinating little movie about seeing how things unravel and you kind of see what's happening and then you want to know, you're trying to guess what's going to happen next and sometimes you guess right, sometimes you don't.
Right.
Really, really interesting movie. And there's talk they're going to remake it. Cronenberg's talking about remaking it, Cronenberg might do a good job. But the last thing they need to do is give it to a big-time American, like Brett Ratner or something like that.
Exactly. And
it would have exploding cars in it, which don't exist in the original.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and Cronenberg, he's got the director, Nacho, is he's writing the screenplay for the American remake.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he is.
Is he going to write it in English?
I believe he is. And he's also writing it with Timothy J. Sexton, who co-wrote Children of Men. So, there's... It could get better. Who knows?
Yeah, but it's one of those that I would be very nervous to see it get too big of a budget treatment to it, just because it works so well as it's just self-contained, very simple movie, and I could see where you give it to somebody and they're like, let's add a giant talking robot,
right? Let's add the Cloverfield monster.
Exactly.
Why not?
This one totally rocks.
Cool. Well, I'm gonna watch it. I'll update you next week.
Okay.
I have it. I have the DVD sitting on my desk, and I haven't watched it yet. So
yeah, there you go.
That's just me being lazy, simply.
Yes.
Moving on. Box office time. Time to talk about the box office.
Well,
I guess
it's
how do you think Punisher is going to do, right?
Well, are we going to talk about last week's box office?
Because were we right about?
I was right about Bolt beating Twilight over the 3-day.
Oh yeah, I think I also agreed with that.
Yes.
And there was actually, I've been reading articles out there by various people who were talking about how Bolt kind of failed compared to Madagascar 3 or 2, well, 2 or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's not true. It beat Twilight. It had heavy competition these last couple weeks, especially with Four Christmases. I went to a Saturday night screening with my family to see Four Christmases last week, and it was packed, like packed in Cleveland. So,
Did you like it?
I thought it was a lot of fun, you know, but I like Vince Vaughn. I think his brand of humor kind of gets to me. And Reese Witherspoon, I could stare at her for 2 hours. So,
that's right.
You know,
and simple. Kristen Chenoweth's boobs.
Kristen Chenoweth. And the fact that it was directed by Seth Gordon and Steve Wiebe makes an appearance.
Where was he in the movie?
Kristen Chenoweth's husband. That was Steve Wiebe, the Donkey Kong guy.
I didn't even recognize him.
That just kind of added up to general enjoyment for me.
That's awesome. Know? Yeah. Well, and I mean, Australia didn't do as well as you predicted.
Yeah, I was hoping Australia would do better, but you know, it was a long movie. It's hard to make a lot of money unless you're The Dark Knight.
And Transporter. Oh, I'm sorry. Twilight didn't drop as far as I thought it would.
Yeah, it did. Although, you know, it was tight between Twilight and Bolt. Yeah. So.
But it's nice to see Bolt back in the theater, and I think Bolt's going to continue to do well this weekend because there's literally nothing out for kids.
Yes, yeah. I think you'll see Bolt and Four Christmases kind of holding toward the top. This week, you know, both being A, family, and B, kind of holiday movies. Although Four Christmases, I will warn you, if you're going to take your little kids,
there's
hardcore Santa spoilers out there.
Yeah. I warned last week. I said they're Santa spoilers.
Big time Santa spoilers.
It comes fast. It's not even something where you can prep for. It's just suddenly, hey, guess what?
Yep. So there you go. If your kids aren't in tune with what's really happening there, you might want.
I guess the big question is: do you think that Punisher is going to beat Bolt for Christmases or Twilight?
I don't think so. I think Punisher is one of those movies. It's a Lionsgate release, which generally means it's not going to make any money. I think that it'll finish somewhere in between third and fifth. You know, it's going to be it's going to be just like Transporter 3. I think it's going to make 15, 20 million based on the buzz, you know, the fanboy crowd. So
Yeah. I think it's going to do okay for what it is, but yeah, I don't think it's going to top at all.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if Bolt comes out on top in its third week, but I doubt it'll happen. I think it'll be Four Christmases, then Bolt, then maybe Quantum of Solace, then maybe Punisher.
I think it'll be Four Christmases, Bolt, and then it's going to be a horse race for the rest.
Yeah.
So, I think Twilight's going to drop a lot faster now.
I think so, too.
Let's hope so.
All right, well, when we come back, we're going to talk about some more stuff, internet-only style. Back into our internet only segment. Woo-hoo. Our favorite time of the show, and I think it is here where I would like to mention that this weekend is my birthday.
Yay, happy birthday to you.
You know what I'm happy about? You know what I'm thankful for?
Me.
Well, you obviously.
Aww, you're so sweet.
Yeah.
Kristen Chenoweth's boobs.
These are things that I would like for my birthday. I would like to be able to spend some time with Kristen Chenoweth's chest. I'm happy that my car insurance is going down because I'm 25 this year.
Yeah,
that's always great. And there was one other thing that I wanted that it does not appear that I will get. I wanted, for my birthday, an advanced copy of The Dark Knight on Blu-ray, which you would think would be something easy for someone like me to get, considering I write a Blu-ray column for a major movie website.
Did you send this and say, do you know who I am, to the publicist?
I believe I did the equivalent of that. And we're also talking about the one studio that decided to fly us out for the junket for
The Dark Knight. Fly you out for the junket.
Yes, spend all these thousands of dollars to get me out there, do these interviews, yet I cannot get a $35 DVD.
Yeah.
So thank you for nothing, Warner Brothers, officially in the internet-only segment.
Wow.
That's right. That's what I have to say.
Venom is just...
I hope my favorite Warner Brothers reps are listening, because I'm deeply saddened by not getting a Dark Knight DVD. I wanted to watch it on my birthday. That would have been perfect.
There are a couple reps that do listen to the show.
That's fine. I want them to know how sad this will be, because here's what I had planned for my birthday. I was going to have a pizza, because I'm doing this diet where I can't have carbs anymore. So for like the last week and a half, I haven't eaten any pizza.
I was about to say, pizza is nothing but carbs. What are you talking about?
I know. But
I'm going to have a hot fudge sundae.
For my birthday, I was going to have pizza, and then I was going to have an ice cream cake from Dairy Queen, which is my favorite thing in the world.
An entire ice cream cake?
An entire ice cream, well, not the entire thing, but part of an ice cream cake.
What diet is this? Because I want to join.
No, this is all breaking my diet.
Oh, okay.
In honor of my birthday.
Oh, okay.
And then I was going to watch The Dark Knight to cap off the evening, and then maybe go out and get drunk. But now I can't watch The Dark Knight, so it screws up all of my birthday plans.
I think you can actually still go see it in the theater.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to watch it on my Blu-ray player.
And they're doing a... I guess I'm not going to give the details on it, but there is an awards season screening of The Dark Knight on IMAX coming up.
Right.
You know about that.
I do.
Yeah.
But that's not on my birthday.
That is a higher definition than you get on Blu-ray.
Right. Well, I might come see that anyways.
Okay.
But I don't know. I'm just really sad about it. That's all I wanted. And whatever.
Are you still going to have Warner the pizza Brothers. And the ice cream cake?
Yes.
and drink yourself until you throw
But it
up?
Looks like I'm going to probably end up watching like Changeling instead.
You can watch.
So
you can end up
we're
watching.
Really going down the.
You can watch like Jury Duty with Pauly Shore.
Yeah, or I just got Planes, Trains, and Automobiles for $4 from Amazon.com. So
wow.
I could also watch that. It could be fun. So, or I'll watch Time Crimes since I didn't watch it for this week's show.
I don't know if that's a birthday movie.
Really?
No.
I don't. My birthday movie was, you know, I usually like try and watch my favorite movie of the year on my birthday. So I guess I'll have to just watch Iron Man instead. I'll just have to go like one down
okay.
on my list.
Okay. You can watch Wall-E. Wall-E's a good movie.
Ooh, Wall-E. That would be a good one. Mm. I usually force my family to watch it with me.
You
That's
force them? Or did you say you usually force them?
Well, I usually force them to watch whatever movie I want to watch on my birthday, despite the fact that I get to watch whatever movies I want to watch all year round anyways.
Mm-hmm.
It's my day to be selfish, I guess. Whatever. Yeah.
Well, okay. That's anyways. Good for you. I support your decision.
Yes. And if anyone out there would like to get me a birthday present, here's a great one. You can join up with our Fat Guy Intology cause.
That's right. We have started our own religion, and it is ostensibly so we can get donations so we can buy Christmas gifts this year.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and we're going to, you know, we'll donate to charity or something.
No, we won't. We're going to pocket anything afterwards. Well, no, we are not doing charity, dude. We're a religion. We are the charity. That's how it works, man. Don't you know the only thing that's different between this and Scientology is we're like not going to molest anybody. Unless they want to be, and they're cute. So send in your pictures before you ask for that sort of thing.
Okay. But Fat Guy Nerds, we have a new announcement. I think just about every week or every couple of weeks we're going to announce a new, you know, part of Fat Guy Intology.
Yes.
And
we
this
are
week
we are expanding
like
our
to,
cause and we're canonizing which is our own process. The Catholics have their own way of doing it. We have our other way of canonizing our patron saints.
Ours comes guilt free.
That's right. And they don't even have to agree. And they don't have to be dead.
And they don't even have to participate.
No. Well,
we
in
would
the
like
future there's
to.
Some that are gonna we want them to participate.
Right, obviously.
But our first one is our favorite actor in the world.
Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage.
Obviously.
And he is our patron saint of badassness.
Yep.
Or what we like to call him as AKA Lil God of War.
Lil God of War. Yep.
Yeah.
He's coming out with an album next year.
Yeah, he hopes to get 8 Grammy nominations.
Peter Dinklage
as well.
Is Lil God of War.
Lil God of War. And
he'll be on the Notorious soundtrack.
This is in honor of Prince Caspian, which is coming out on DVD because he was in Prince Caspian. And this is our way of being able to talk about Fat Guy Genetics and Peter Dinklage in every show for now until the end of time.
But you see how we did that? We also tied it into what's coming out on DVD.
See?
So I feel like we've also met our professional obligation. Mm-hmm. As dudes who get free movies.
That's right.
Which is what our official job titles are.
Yes.
So. All right, cool. So patron saint of badassness, a.k.a. Lil God of War, Peter Dinklage.
And
congratulations.
If you want to send any donations, make your checks out to Kevin Carr. and send them to 1985 West Henderson Road, number 221, Columbus, Ohio, 43220. Thank you very much.
Nice.
I expect tons of cash in my mailbox.
Tons of cash. Okay.
Tons of cash from Little God of War.
For Little God of War. Just write that in the memo. If we get a check for Little God of War, I will laugh so hard. It will just, it'll be between me and whoever wrote the check. It'll That's be right. very funny.
That's right.
So there you go. Moving on. We got a Fat Guy 5 this week.
Ooh, ooh. It took us a while to figure it out because there's nothing we couldn't you can think do of with anything Punisher and Cadillac Records.
Yeah. You know, we were going to do our favorite Motown songs, but we couldn't figure that out either.
We're two white dudes. We don't listen to Motown.
Right. Exactly. On, so this week's five, since the winter TV season is coming up in January and all these great new shows or great shows that we have once loved, some big epic like movie lover type shows are starting, we're going to do our five most anticipated winter television shows or shows that start in January.
And whatever. Neil, I already told him he's not allowed to do Extreme Makeover Home Edition at all.
Which would be obviously number one if we were including anything reality-based.
We'd be sort of unrealistic reality-based crap.
Right.
That'll be next week's list.
Yeah. So, but I'll start with, I got the first two. Number five is The United States of Tara.
Woohoo!
Which stars Toni Collette. It's written by Diablo Cody.
Oh, you just...
It's produced by Steven Spielberg.
You just pulled the wind out of my sails when you said Toni Collette.
But Toni Collette's awesome. And she plays this woman who has serious multiple personality disorder, like literally wakes up as a different person every day, and it's kind of about her family living with that.
Is she always Toni Collette though?
But she's literally Toni Collette the whole time.
It's not like Quantum Leap where he looks in the mirror and suddenly he's a black dude.
No, not at all. Toni Collette wakes up, she's Beyonce.
Oh, I'd be interested in that.
That would be interesting. Yes. But yeah, no, it's on. It starts in January on Showtime, which is my favorite network because it has all the best shows, obviously.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does. Weeds, no, it Dexter, doesn't. Californication. No, it doesn't. Fantastic shows.
No, it doesn't.
Whatever.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, it's no CBS, I guess. But speaking of networks,
I'm
NBC,
glad to say that my three, the top three are from three totally different networks.
Yeah. Well, the top four are from... Well, they're all from different networks. We didn't because we have United States Terrorists on Showtime. Chuck is on NBC, which is our number four. And I know everybody's saying Chuck's on right now. So what? The 3D episode of Chuck is the day after the Super Bowl in February. So what you need to know about this is that
it's in 3D.
It's in 3D. And if there is no more geekerific show, like literally next week's episode of Chuck has the DeLorean from Back to the Future in it.
Wow.
And Gary Cole. I mean, how much better does that get?
It would be better if it was Gary Cole, man.
Well, maybe. But
driving the DeLorean, he'd be sitting on phone books.
That'd be awesome. So
he'll be like short round in the Indiana Jones. He'll have the blocks tied to his feet. Use the pedals. He'd be chauffeured around by Peter Dinklage.
The patron saint of badassness.
That's
otherwise
right.
Known as Little God of War. So, all right, number three is all you.
Okay, number three, Lost. I'm a huge fan of Lost. The new DVD is coming out next week. Season four literally has two whole discs of special features. And one of the things ABC Studios is doing with their DVDs is they're putting in cards. All their seasons come in with like a card that has it's a gimmicky kind of thing. Like for Brothers and Sisters, which is a dumb show, but it was like all these recipes.
Hey, my mom likes that show.
That the Walker family does. Yeah. Well, it's the recipes, and like there's a map of Manhattan for I think for Samantha who she was in Map of Chicago. There's like a map of LA for Private Practice. Lost, you have a safety card from Oceanic Airlines.
Oh, nice.
What to do in case of emergency.
I will say this about Lost. I just Amazon had a Thanksgiving deal for the first three seasons, and I got season four on Blu-ray.
Yeah,
because I'm going to review it, and I'm going to start Lost this weekend.
Oh well, yeah, you'll be done with it by Christmas, because dude, it is an addictive show.
I know, and you know me, I roll through shows like crazy.
Well, I remember when I was telling you a couple. There's a show comes in number one, so I won't say what it is. But I was saying how awesome it was, and you're like, no, I'm not going to watch it. And then you watched it,
Yeah, and then I rolled through 4 seasons in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, and you got you went crazy for it. So yeah.
Yeah. So Lost, but, I'm sure will be a similar yeah. situation.
Lost comes back in January, one of the last two seasons. It's like 2 17 episode yeah. seasons coming up. So
yep.
Lost is one of the best shows on television.
Yep. And I think you get number 2 as well, cuz number 2 is more of a you show than me anyways. A
little more me. 24. I actually got into 24 in the 5th season. Because I got sent the DVDs. That's really how to hook me in. And this is just, if you got publicists listening, or anybody, if you want me to promote your shows, just send me the DVDs, and I'll get hooked on certain ones, and then I'll talk about it nonstop. And that's what happened with Stargate. That's what happened with Lost. That's what happened with 24. I mm-hmm. got into the show, and it's a fantastic series. Terrorists weren't able to take down Jack Bauer, but a writer strike did last year. Now we've got 24 season 7. Showing up in January. Can't wait.
Yeah. Cool. I'm down. Whatever.
You want to do number 1?
Number 1, Battlestar Galactica.
Wow.
I don't think anybody can deny that this is one of the best shows on television.
Yeah.
And it's coming down to what its last like 7 or 8 episodes.
Yeah.
We're going to find out who the final Cylon is.
Yep.
And we're going to figure out whether or not they're actually on Earth or not.
No, they're on Earth. It's just Earth,
we're going to find out what happened to Earth.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm excited. This is the show that Kevin was talking about earlier. The one where he said, you know, oh, it's great. And I was like, ah, whatever. And then I got, like, seriously addicted.
Yeah.
So that and Trisha Helfer. If you need a better reason to watch anything, watch Trisha Helfer. She's also going to be making a cameo on Chuck.
Well, and she's in Burn Notice. That also comes yeah. back in January as well.
Oh, really?
Nice. Yeah, Burn Notice comes back in January. Monk comes back in January. Psych comes back in January. The great cable shows are all coming back. Eureka's coming back in January.
Sweet.
Awesome stuff. And Stargate's rolling through to the final things. Those are my big ones. And Knight Rider might be canceled, so that'd be awesome.
Yes, so that, you know. But and this all makes me a little... It warms me, despite the fact that Pushing Daisies got canceled.
That just sounds gross.
I need to mention that without Pushing Daisies, my life is incomplete.
Wow.
So, just officially, that's how it goes.
Then it got canceled. So, like it was like everything on ABC. It was Pushing Daisies, Eli Stone, or ABC. It was Pushing Daisies, Eli Stone, and Dirty Sexy Money all got wiped out. Like,
right, and they're like, well, I guess we'll just have to see what happens with these last 2 seasons of Lost, and then hope we get another good show.
Well, no, they've got decent, not decent stuff, but they've got some big shows. They've got Desperate Housewives, they've got Grey's Anatomy, they've got Private Practice, which I don't know what the heck's happened. That's kind of shuffling. You got Lost, you got Scrubs moving to ABC, so they've actually got a good lineup for the rest of the year. It's just to see how long like certain shows last.
Right. I really just don't think that they needed to cancel Pushing Daisies.
Mm.
No, it didn't. So anyways, that's what we have. We'll be back.
I'm done.
In a moment, and we'll wrap you up and get you out of here. And we're back and we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys for the Movies. We've gone through the whole slate. We talked movie reviews. We talked box office. We talked about Richard Nixon and Kristen Chenoweth and all of her assets and
her
we
front
also,
sets.
In our internet only segment, we also we named a patron saint to our new religion.
Yes.
So I feel like we've accomplished a lot here this week.
Yes.
And there's still more to come.
Send your money to the Fat Guy Genetics cause. And our new patron saint, Lil God of War, Peter Dinklage.
Lil God of War, otherwise known as Peter Dinklage.
Yes.
So, time for the DVD roundup. And this week we've got a pretty good slate, I would say, this week.
We're getting into the Christmas season of buying now. So,
yes.
There's a lot of stuff being dropped. Like a month ago, it was kind of lame, but now we got some pretty good stuff coming out on DVD.
Right. So, what's your pick of the week?
My pick of the week stars our patron saint, from Fat Guy Genetics, Little God of War, Peter Dinklage himself. That would
fantastic.
Be the Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian. This mm-hmm. one, this is the thing. It didn't do as well as the first one, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, but, you know, that's okay because The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe was a much more recognizable thing, and it was a simpler plot. But still, Peter, Princess Caspian did very, very well, and it was a great film. My kids have seen it. We watched it together. It's a lot of fun. It's a great 3-disc special edition. One of the discs, digital copy, but it has a lot of special features. The Blu-ray's out, has tons of special features, and it leads into the next Narnia movie, The Voyage of the Dawn Trader, which should come out, I think, in 2010.
Yeah. Well, can I just say something that the one thing that bothered me about Narnia, about Prince Caspian, which I just watched on Blu-ray last week.
Are you going to complain about the fact that they didn't screen it in Columbus?
No, it has nothing to do with that. It's Ben Barnes, who plays Prince Caspian, and his Mandy Patinkin impression. If he would have laid down just one, you killed my father, prepare to die, then I swear I would have lost it. It would have been awesome.
Yeah.
But it was kind of weird. But no, I mean, that's a decent pick. And my pick this week, Wanted on Blu-ray is a good one to get, and that's out this week. But also, I wanted to bring light to The Day the Earth Stood Still, the 2-disc edition, and it's out on Blu-ray as well.
How's it look on Blu-ray?
I'm still waiting for my copy. No. Apparently, they had some delays.
It's stuck in the mail with the Dark Knight.
It's stuck with the Dark Knight, you know? Probably delivered to my old address. Mm. But I will say this. The new one comes out next week, and I have a feeling it's just not going to be that good. Mm. Just my own personal.
Where do you get that feeling from? Everywhere.
Dude. Whoa. So if you want to see what a great sci-fi movie is,
if the Earth dies, you die. Whoa.
you should pick up The Day the Earth is Still on Blu-ray. Because, I mean, I've seen the list of special features, and it looks pretty awesome. And I don't know. We'll see. I'll have a full report next week. But
yeah. I didn't actually request that DVD just because I'm not a big fan of the original film.
Right.
And I just
saw it on the big screen.
Yeah, we just saw it at the science fiction marathon back in April or March or whenever that was.
Yeah.
So where they literally wheeled in Patricia Neal, who was completely senile and
had no idea where she was. She had no idea what movie she was there to talk about.
They told her, hey, what are you looking forward to the remake with Keanu Reeves? And she's like, who? I mean, literally, it was the most embarrassing live interview I've ever seen. I walked out. I was that embarrassed.
Right. I was sad for her.
Yeah.
Because it went on too long. That's why I had to leave. Because I had to get up and go pee.
Yeah.
But anywho, what's our stinker of the week?
Stinker would be Fly Me to the Moon, which was a 3D movie released. It was a CGI movie released only in 3D. And yes, the DVD does have 2D and 3D, but as we all know, you can't do the polarized digital 3D at your home theater, so you get that red-green anaglyph crap. So it's the only reason to have seen this movie in the theater was to see it in 3D, just because 3D is cool. And yes, it's in 3D at home, but it looks murky and crappy, so there's no reason to get it at all. I mean, it's like the Hannah Montana concert. If you wanted to watch it in 3D, you had to go to the theater. I mean, it's on 3D, but it looked terrible. You know, whenever they release something in 3D at home, they just don't have the platform yet. So
right.
Fly Me to the Moon sucked.
Cool. So time to a little review wrap up here. We'll start. We'll go in reverse, and we'll start with Time Crimes.
Totally rocked.
Which you said totally rocked. I said that I promised to watch it at some point. Mm. And then we had Frost Nixon, which I said rocks.
And I said it kind of rocks.
And then Cadillac Records, neither one of us saw despite the opportunity. But you were able to give it a preemptive suck because they didn't screen it in Columbus.
I can officially say this preemptively sucks.
Yeah, I just skipped it.
And if you want an explanation of the preemptive suck, you got to go back a couple episodes because we explained
it. Yeah, we're not going to go through that every week.
No.
And then Punisher Warzone, which I said kind of sucks.
I said kind of rocks because it had decapitations and people blowing up by RPGs.
Right. Yeah. Parkour people. The dude's doing parkour.
Yeah. Or free running. I think it was more free running than parkour.
Whatever you want to call it. It was stupid. So, whatever. Next week, we've got The Day the Earth is Still with Keanu.
Whoa.
We're also going to review Wendy and Lucy, starring Michelle Williams.
Whoa.
And Nothing Like the Holidays with Deborah Messing and John Leguizamo.
Whoa.
And Alfred Molina. And Delgo, which I'm told is somewhere in between Dougal. And what was the other one?
Igor.
And Igor.
Hey, it stars Freddie Prinze Jr. Come on.
Freddie Prinze Jr. Headlining his animated flick. Who knows? Who knows how this is going to go?
Oh, I think we all know.
It could be really, really awesome.
We all know how this is going to go.
Yeah. So, yeah, in between now and then, if you'd like to get a hold of us, hit us on fatguysofthemovies.com. Go to iTunes and sign up to receive us via iTunes and leave us a review or whatever. I don't know. I'm totally messing this up. But email us, fatguysoffilmschoolrejects.com, or give us a call, 614-388-8735. Until next week.
Whoa. Boom, baby.
Boom goes the dynamite.